Chapter 33. The engineer threw his Johnson bar into reverse. 8 ponderous drive wheels spun backward, showering sparks and slivers from the rails. For a moment it looked as if 2 strong men were actually stopping a consolidation locomotive. And when it did grind to a stop with a ground-shaking shudder, Isaac Bell looked down and saw his boots planted firmly on the suspect crosstie. The tip of the pilot was hanging over it. The leading wheels of the engine truck had come within 2 yards of it. "Back her up," ordered Malone. "Softly." Gently scraping away the ballast from either end, Bell discovered upon close inspection that the suspect tie had a round wooden plug like a whiskey barrel bung. It was the diameter of a silver dollar and almost indistinguishable from the timber's end grain. "Move everyone farther back," he told Malone. He packed the tie with dynamite. The triggering device was a nail positioned to set off a detonator. There was enough dynamite to blow rails out from under the locomotive, which would have tumbled off the cut and dragged the whole train down the side of the mountain. Instead, Bell was able to wire back to Osgood Hennessy that the Van Dorn Detective Agency had won another victory over the wrecker. Hennessy moved his special train to the head of the line, where the miners and trackmen who had arrived safely were hard at work boring through the last 100 feet of Tunnel 13. Early next morning, Osgood Hennessy called Bell onto his private car. Lillian and Mrs. Comden offered coffee. Hennessy was grinning ear to ear. "We're about to hole through. We always do a ceremony on the long tunnels where I clear the last stone. This time, the hands sent a delegation demanding that you take the last poke for what you did yesterday. It's a big honor. I'd accept it if I were you." Bell walked into the tunnel with Hennessy, hugging the wall when they had to step off the tracks to let a locomotive pass with debris-filled dump cars. For hundreds of yards, the sides and arched ceilings were already finished with masonry shoring. Near the end, a temporary web of timbers shored up the ceiling. In the final yards, the miners worked under a shield of cast iron and timber that protected them from falling rock. The chattering drills stopped as Bell and the railroad president approached. Miners cleared the crumbling stone with sledges and shovels, then stepped back from the wall that remained. A towering hard rock miner with long apish arms and a gap-toothed grin handed Bell a 16-pound sledgehammer.
"Ever swing one of these before?"
"Driving tent pegs for the circus."
"You'll do fine."
The miner leaned in and whispered,
"See that chalk mark? Smack her there. We always said it to come down for the ceremony. Gangway, boys! Give the man room!"
"Are you sure you don't want to do this?" Bell asked Hennessy.
Hennessy stepped back.
"I've dug plenty of tunnels in my day. You earned this one."
Bell whipped the heavy sledge over his shoulder and swung hard at the chalk mark. Cracks spread, and a gleam of light showed in the wall. He swung again. The miners cheered as the rock collapsed and daylight poured in. Bell stepped into the jagged opening and saw the Cascade Canyon Bridge glittering in the sunlight. The long, layered latticework of steel spanned the deep gorge of the Cascade River on 2 tall, slim towers set on massive stone piers. Floating high above the watery mists and foam, the most important bridge on the cutoff line looked almost complete. Cross ties were already laid on it in anticipation of steel rails arriving through the tunnel. Bell saw that it was heavily guarded. Railroad police stood every 50 feet. A sentry house stood at either end and one at each pier. As Bell watched, a cloud passed over the sun and the shadow turned the silvery girders black.
"What do you think, son?" Hennessy asked proudly.
"She's a beauty."
How would the wrecker strike? In the shadow of the bridge nestled the town of Cascade, established where the original lowland railroad from the desert terminated at the foot of the mountains. He could see the elegant 1870s Cascade Lodge,
long a draw for intrepid tourists willing to brave the long, slow climb on endless switchbacks up the foothills. From that railhead, Hennessy had built a temporary freight line with even more switchbacks to lift materials to the bridge construction site. Almost impossibly steep, it was a jagged series of sharp climbs and hairpin turns that had been nicknamed by the railroad workers the Snake Line. The grade was so heavy that a string of freight cars Bell saw ascending were pulled by three smoke-billowing locomotives, with four pusher engines helping from behind. The Snake Line locomotives had done their job. From now on, materials would arrive on the cutoff line. The wrecker wouldn't hit the Snake Line. Its job was done. He wouldn't hit the town. He would hit the bridge itself. Destroying the long truss and pier bridge would set back the cutoff project by years. "What the deuce is that?" asked Hennessy. He pointed at a column of dust racing up a switchback buggy road from the town below. Isaac Bell's face opened in a broad grin of appreciation. "That is the Thomas Flyer automobile you and I were talking about. Model 35, four cylinders, 60 horsepower. Look at him go." The bright yellow motor car topped the switchback, bounced over the rocky shelf, and skidded to a halt 20 feet away from where Bell and Hennessy stood in the mouth of the tunnel. The canvas top was down and folded back, and the only one in it was the driver, a tall man clad in boot-length duster, hat, and goggles. He jumped from behind the wooden steering wheel and strode toward them. "Congratulations," he called, whipping off his goggles with a dramatic flourish. "What the hell are you doing here?" asked Hennessy. "Isn't Congress in session?" "Celebrating your cutoff hole through," said Charles Kincaid. "I happen to be meeting with some very important California gentlemen at the Cascade Lodge. I told my hosts they would have to wait while I drove up to shake your hand." Kincaid seized Hennessy's hand and pumped it heartily. "Congratulations, sir. Magnificent achievement. Nothing can stop you now."